Hey, if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 12. We want to look at verses 22 to 34 of Luke chapter 12, because it really deals with worry. I mean, there's a lot of things we can be concerned about, but that's why I said we need to do our best, do all we can do, and then commit the rest. You know, let the Lord take over from there and not wring our hands, not worry about things and be anxious and all that. And the Lord's going to talk about that. He says in verse 22 of Luke chapter 12, Jesus said to his disciples, "For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what your body for what you shall put on. For your life is more than food and your body than clothing. Consider the ravens of the field. They neither sow nor reap, and they do not store into barns, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than the birds? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single cubit to your lifespan? And if then you cannot do even a very little thing, why are you anxious about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil or spin. But I tell you, even Solomon in his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, O men of little faith? And do not seek what you shall eat and what you shall drink, and do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. But seek for his kingdom, and these things shall be added unto you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves purses which will not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Father, I do pray in our very stressful society that we live in. So many things happening, so many things that we can be concerned about and worried about, not just world issues or issues in the United States or in the state of Hawaii or other states, Lord, but even in our life, Lord, concerns about family and friends and jobs and just so many different things. Lord, I pray that you would this morning speak to our hearts by your Holy Spirit. I pray that he would lead us into all truth, Lord, this morning. And Lord, I pray that we might turn a corner in our life if we are prone to worry, prone to be anxious. And that very thing is taking a toll on our life. Lord, I pray that we would turn that corner and come into a place of trusting you. And that's what you're emphasizing here for the disciples. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you've been with us, or if you haven't, in the first part of the chapter, remember the chapter before, Jesus is talking about eternal things. He's talking about heaven and hell. He's talking about those that could kill the body, but they can't do anything. He said, be concerned with those that can kill the body and afterwards send into hell, talking about God himself. And then he talks about, if you confess me before people, I will confess you before the angels of God in heaven. But if you deny me, I will deny you. So he's talking about eternal things, spiritual things. And then remember that man breaks in, that greedy brother who tried to recruit Jesus to help get his share of the inheritance. And then the Lord basically rebukes him and then starts talking about greed. He says, beware and guard against every form of greed. And then he talks about that rich fool who worried about all he had. He had so much, he had to build bigger barns, you know, and then thought that his soul could take pleasure for many years. But then the Lord says that God said, this night your life is required of you. Who's going to own what you've built up for yourself? And so is a person that is not rich toward God. So the emphasis, the focus is on the Lord's teaching and on the Lord's eternal things, heaven and hell, that he's talking about. And so often, you know, when the Lord starts talking about eternal things, spiritual things, our attention wants to go, well, what about this? Well, what about that? You know, we get concerned with the earthly, the tangible, the material things. And that's not what we should be concerned with the most. Yeah, there's a concern for those things, but as I mentioned, you do your best, you commit the rest, and that's all you do. But you see, if you're going to worry and be anxious for those things, then the Lord is saying, don't do that. And consider what I've done for the least of these, for the birds, for the flowers, for the grass. And if I've done it for that, won't I do it for you? So why is your focus on temporal things and not on eternal things where Jesus might say that he dwells? You see, and so that's what we're talking about. And the disciples, maybe the disciples were tempted to, you know, when he talks about that man that had so much, you know, building bigger barns, maybe the disciples thought, well, we have so little. You know, what about us? And we've given up all to follow the Lord. And so maybe that's in the thinking, along with the Lord talking about verse 22, what we just read, about the enemy of worry, about people worrying over all they have or the things they don't have. You see, the worry, be careful. And that's why he says, for this reason. Notice that, for this reason. He says in verse 22, I say to you, do not be anxious or do not worry, for your life is what you shall eat, or your body what you shall put on. So for what reason? Well, because of what he said in the last couple verses, that your life, verse 15, your life does not consist in the abundance of things that you own. That's what he told in that parable of that rich man that built bigger barns. He says your life doesn't, it doesn't exist, and it's not really, having all that you have. That's not what life's all about, the abundance of what you have in your possessions. That's not life. That's not living. That's just concern over what you have, and you're constantly thinking about that. And that's going to die out. That's not really going to be around that long. But keep your mind on eternal things. And he also mentioned, remember, guard against all forms of greed. And so for this reason, the things that you own or the things that you don't own, the things that you want to be greedy over, hey, don't be worried about all that. That's what he's saying. Your Bible might have, for this reason, I say, don't be anxious or don't worry. The Greek term there means to be pulled apart, to be torn apart. In other words, go to pieces over these earthly things that you're so concerned about. It could be a lot of different things, but you see, it's falling apart over life's concerns. And he says, you know, the Lord says, you know, your life is more important than the external things, than the material things. You're of greater value to God, and you should realize that you're greater value to yourself and to others than to what you own or you don't own. Don't go to pieces over those things. You see, basically, live not from the outside in, what you have and concern from that, but live from the inside out. Christ in you, the hope of glory, trusting in the Lord. You see, worry over daily affairs, I mean, we do. I mean, we have stress, and I mean, you almost don't even have to talk about it. We have stress in traffic, don't we? Somebody cuts in front of you, somebody's going too slow in the fast lane, you know, we're stressed out over that. We get kind of bummed out over that. Or maybe it's job security, or maybe it's family issues, family problems, or maybe daily routine or sickness. You could go on and on and on. What can concern us and bring worry to us? But you see, those things can affect our health, and they can affect the aging process. Have you ever seen people that are fairly young, but they've worried all their life and they look way beyond their years? You see, it affects health. It affects aging process. You see, the nervous system releases stress hormones, which can cause a physical reaction in people. The Lord knew that. We have now discovered that. In fact, you know, the medical people, they will list all these things that happen when you're stressed out and you're worried about things. There's certain lists of them. Let me name a few of them. Difficulty in swallowing, dizziness, dry mouth, fast heartbeat, fatigue, headaches, inability to concentrate, irritability, muscle headaches, tension, nausea, nervous energy, rapid breathing, shortness of breath, sweating, trembling, twitching, all those things. You go, I do that anyway and I'm not worried. No, a lot of these things. Have you ever seen those commercials that they say, take this drug, it'll help you for this? But the side effects, and they'll list about 10 things, and they'll go, and you may die in your sleep if you take this, but get a doctor to approve it. You know, but worry does all that. And you know what? Long term, it leads to suppression of the immune system, digestive disorders, short-term memory loss, premature coronary artery disease, heart attack. And you know what? It could lead to depression and suicidal thoughts. You think, well, I've had some of that. I think we all have. But we're talking about a pattern of life. We're talking about a focus of our life. And the Lord cares about us too much for that to be the focus. And that's why he's saying that he cares for his little flock. We'll see that. You see, I read a quote where somebody had said, my life has been full of trouble and misfortune, most of which never happen. So we're worried about so many things, probably 90% of those things, if more, they don't even happen, but we worry about them, and they have an effect on us, emotionally, mentally, physically. I think worry is like a stream of fear running through our minds. And it cuts a deep channel in our minds, in our synapses there, in our brain, into which all other thoughts are drained. When you're worried about something, everything else just drains into that worry. And then you can have those vain imaginings. And then that is a bad place to be. And that's why the Lord is saying, don't. Don't. Worry. He just gives the command. And he says that life is more than food and the body clothing. And so he's going to talk about material things, not everything, but just those, you know, necessities of life. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storehouses or barns, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than the birds? I mean, the birds don't have the ability to plant and sow and reap and do all that. But notice he's focusing on the material life over the spiritual life. Don't be so concerned about your material life that you're missing the spiritual life, the spiritual things that God has given us and bringing us to. God cares for his creation. That's what we're seeing here. And even the birds. The birds, you think they're kind of inconsequential. We don't think too much of them. But God cares for them. And notice what the birds don't do. The birds don't do what that rich fool did. Build bigger barns, store into barns, doing all that. The birds don't do that. I think what a contrast with that rich fool and the birds. You see, that rich fool consumed with what he had, what he owned, where it was going, and how I can store more and gain more. More and store. That was his whole philosophy. You know, he had so much, he was going to store it, and he thought his life was just going to be a breeze from there on out. And the Lord said, no, you're dying tonight. Who's going to own all that you have? You see, and so is a person that is just consumed with material things and yet they're not rich toward God. Jesus is saying that. He's not just warning us, but he's bringing us to a higher form of life. Because we're created spirit beings. We're created body, soul, and spirit. But when Adam fell, that spirit, the spiritual part of us, is dormant. It died. And then when we're born again, believing in Christ dying on the cross, being buried and raising the third day, he took upon himself our sins. He was sacrificed for our sins. When we believe in him, we are forgiven of our sin. And we're born again of the Spirit. Now the Spirit is uppermost. But you see, don't now revert back to the whole material life that you once lived. And that's what he's saying. He's trying to bring us out of that. Because he's talking to the disciples, remember? He's saying it to the disciples. And he's saying that if God provides for the birds, why don't you think he would provide for you? He's going to do the same for you. And you see, the argument is from the lesser to the greater. If God looks out for the birds, the lesser, he's going to look out for the greater, you. And then he goes on, verse 25, and says, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? Now, in Matthew, it talks about a cubit, your lifespan, or to your height. You know, can you stretch yourself? Can you be taller than you know God created you to be? You see, worry just doesn't help. Worry doesn't help, but it hinders. It hinders. It doesn't add 1 minute to our life, as we see here, and it doesn't add 1 inch to our height. We're created the way God has created us. He's got all of our days, as Psalm says, in his book in heaven. He knows exactly when our days are numbered, when our days are up. We can't add to those. We can't add to our height. But you see, worry will take away. It'll take away life and it'll take away health. You see, a day of worry is more exhausting than a day of work. Have you ever worried? Not all day. That would be horrible. You'd be a basket case. But I mean, worrying for an hour, you'd rather work for all day. But you see, it just takes a lot of out of you. It just drains you. It drains your health. Martin Luther said, pray and let God worry. You know, leave it to him. You just pray and give it to the Lord. Then he goes on and he says, if then, verse 26, you cannot do even a very little thing, why are you anxious or worried about other matters? If you have no say in the very little things of your life, those things that God has established, your lifespan or how tall you are, those things that are just part of your DNA that God has encoded in you, if you don't have any say over that, things that God has ordained, it's useless to worry about other things that confront you daily that God is going to take care of. He's always already given you, he's already incorporated in you who you are, your height, your days, your all this stuff. And if he cares for the birds, don't you think he's going to care for all those needs that you have in daily life? As somebody said, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but you don't go anywhere. You know, case in point, put your thinking cap on. What were you worried about 1 year ago on this day, on this Sunday? What was it? Can you remember? Well, no, not exactly. Yeah, that's the point. And where did it get you? Well, nowhere. That's the point. You see, that's what he's telling us. It's really something to do, but it doesn't do anything. It just really ruins a person's health, and it ruins their well-being. And then he tells us here in verse 27 and 28, consider. Now he's not only going to look at the birds, but he's going to look at nature, he's going to look at the grass of the field, the flowers. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. Basically, for beauty and splendor is what he's saying. But if God so arrays the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow was thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, O men of little faith? Now, when he talks about the grass and the flowers toiling and spinning, that's what the women did on their spinning wheels and making clothing. I mean, it was all handmade. You didn't go to the market and, they didn't have, a place that automatically, made garments. You'd usually make them yourself or you'd go to someone that made them. They were very expensive. And so if, in that sense, if flowers spring up and are so beautiful, but then they're gone, they come and they go, you see them 1 year and then the next, they come and they go, you see them 1 year and the next, they come and they go. And God is so consistent in bringing the beauty to the flowers and then they just fade away in time. Usually when spring passes, the flowers and the grass will die out. And then he talks about putting them into a furnace. And often they did use the dried grass and dried flowers for kindling in their stoves. It would last about a month or maybe even longer, but then it's gone. And the argument again is from the lesser to the greater. If God clothed and he looked out for these year after year after year, and you saw them, how much more is he going to look out after you who are greater? You see, the problem is not God's limited power. The problem is our limited faith. That's what he's looking at. And you could look at nature, how God is consistent in nature. And so it's not his limited power, but our limited faith. It's been said that worry can keep us up all night, but faith makes a soft pillow. Have you ever been up all night worrying, or hour after hour after hour? I have. I haven't perfected this don't worry, trust the Lord completely. Man, I have had sleepless nights that have, just about ruined me. But you see, faith, that's what God's bringing us to. You can always learn from your unbelief and from your anxiety and stress and lack of faith through worry. You can realize, that did not get me anywhere. And that situation did not change one iota by my worry. And so, Lord, I give it to you. And when I get up in the morning, let me deal with what I've got to deal with, what I have to deal with, and leave it to you. And watch God. Take charge. Take over. Verse 29 and 30, he says, "And do not seek what you shall eat and what you shall drink, and do not keep worrying, for all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things." And so he says, don't keep worrying. Notice it's the pattern. He's talking about a pattern in our life. You could worry over certain things. Sometimes there are some heavy issues that come into our life. And you're stressed out over them. It just happens. It's part of life. But you see, he's talking about a pattern. And he says, don't keep worrying. And the term there is to be held in suspense. To be held in suspense, it's like it's an ongoing situation for you. You go from one worry situation to the next. You're always in suspense. Your heart's never at peace. It's never calm with the Lord. It's really a picture here of a ship tossed in a storm just outside the breakwater where it's easily docked and in safe harbor. Oh, if it could just get into the harbor, calm inside the harbor. But it's tossed. And somehow it's not, turning into the harbor. You see, and that's what the Lord is trying to keep us from. Trying to keep us from that tossing and turning and worrying about situations and come into that safe harbor. That's Jesus Christ. And the old English word here for keep worrying is to strangle with fear. A lot of the medical terms I had mentioned before, a lot of people are just, they're just strangled because of that worry and that anxiety and strangled with fear. Corrie ten Boom, that beautiful Christian woman who was in Auschwitz and went through the whole Nazi concentration camp and came out of that alive, she said, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength." And so worrying about something that's going to happen somewhere down the line is not going to solve anything, but I'll tell you, it'll take away whatever strength you have and endurance you have for today. Just makes you want to not do anything. I don't want to be around people. I just want to sit and relax. I just want to go to sleep. You know, and a lot of people, they just try to sleep off that anxiety and that worry. I heard a story about a man who had an idea. He said, "You know, I'm not going to worry anymore. I'm going to hire somebody to worry for me." So he put an ad in the paper, $100,000 a year, if you will worry for me. And he got a lot of responses, and he chose one fella, and you know, the fella worked for him for about a week, and the fella scratched his head and said, "Well, how are you going to get this $100,000 to pay me per year?" And he said, "I don't know, that's your worry." You know, wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice? But it's not, it's really not that way. You know, not that way. And worry can be so deceptive, can it? It focuses our happiness on material things, on what's going on around us, on how we're, you know, things are going good, so we have a good life. Things are going bad, so we have a bad life. You see, are we looking good? Are we feeling good? Are we having good things? You see, and that's really, that's the focus of our life, but it so distracts from true happiness, true living in the Lord. And this is what the Lord is really encouraging the disciples and encouraging us. You see, worry and anxiety will hide God. It'll obscure the true meaning of life. And that's to know Christ and to enjoy Him forever. And that means right now, right this morning. You know, you who are worried about certain things. You know, I have worry come into me every day. I was worried about something yesterday. You know, and I just have to give it to the Lord. Lord, I give it to You. You know, trust the Lord. You know, commit it to Him. And He's going to work those things out. You see, but knowing Christ and to make Him known, that is the focus of our life. And when we leave off that, and then we move on to trying to find more life through more things or more material things or bemoaning the fact that we don't have enough. You see, there's when where the problem lies. The late chaplain of the U.S. Senate, Peter Marshall, he said that ulcers would not become the badge of our faith. And I think a lot of Christians, ulcers, well, I've got all these ulcers, I've got all this worry. When I was a young Christian, we used to do retreats and stuff, and I was pretty much in charge of a lot of things, everything. You know, when you're a pretty young church, and you know, you're pretty much doing everything. And I can remember walking, I had a clipboard, you know, when I was looking at stuff, and I was walking, and somebody passed by me, and they said, "Bill, are you okay?" I looked up and I said, "Yeah, why?" They said, "You look so worried." I went, "That's just my normal face." You know, I didn't realize, you know, but it was. I was just concerned. I was worried about a lot of things. We do have a much bigger staff now, and I do pay them to worry for me, and they do. But there is some relief there, you know, when you do have more people on staff, and that worry is just spread around where you're trusting the Lord. You're not worrying over these things. You're concerned, but you're doing what you need to do. You do your best. You commit the rest to the Lord. And just watch him work. Notice as we're coming to an end here, but verse 31 says, but, here's the key to the worriers. But seek for his kingdom, and these things shall be added unto you. What things? All the material things, all the things you need for life, for temporary life, but you're seeking God's kingdom, and he ends off with that as well. You see, if my heart and my mind are fixed on passing pleasures of the world, or maybe the problems that I think that I'm going to solve, and I'm not really giving them to the Lord, then we're going to always worry. You know, we're always going to feel like worry is my job. And if I'm not worrying, I'm not doing something. And a lot of people feel that way. If I worry, I feel like I'm doing something. No, but that's a lack of faith. That's a lack of trusting the Lord. And seeking the kingdom of God first in the things of eternal value, you know, that's really just sinking the life of Christ in our life now. But you know what? He's bringing us to the kingdom of God. And we've dealt with that Wednesday, that earthly reign of Christ for 1,000 years, and you and I as a born-again believer will be with him, and we will be reigning and ruling with him. When you think about that, when you contemplate that, because Jesus talks a lot about that to his disciples. You know, it's getting them off this earthly focus of don't worry about, you know, the things, the material things. God's going to handle those. But you know what? There's a kingdom. There's a kingdom coming. And also you now have that life of Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, so these things, when you focus on God and the kingdom of God and his reign, you see, God's peace will guard your heart and your mind when the trials, when the problems, when the issues come. Those things that concern us will fall into place. We just know it. We just trust God. We just believe that those things are going to work out. You know, you don't put yourself in harm's way. You don't put yourself in jeopardy. You don't tempt the Lord that way. As Satan said to Jesus, hey, jump off the pinnacle of the temple, for it's written, God shall give his angels charge concerning you. In all your way, no, concerning you, that you not dash your foot against the stone. The thing that Satan left out is in all your ways. Jumping off the pinnacle of the temple wasn't one of God's ways for Jesus. You see, so we don't unnecessarily put us in harm's way, or we don't do something that will create problems in our life. And so often, that's what we do. So we create the problems, so we feel like we have to worry ourselves out of those problems. No, if you blew it, then you confess it, you give it to the Lord, and then let the Lord show you what steps to take from this point on. But that worrying is not going to get you out of that mess. He's going to provide. He will work out all the necessary details of all the details of our life. You see, it's been said that sorrow looks back. Worry looks around. Faith looks up. That's the idea. That's what the Lord's saying. Look up. Faith looks up to Jesus. Well, the last verses here, 32 to 34, do not be afraid, little flock, because there is fear, there's concern. You know, and we have to cast our burdens upon the Lord when we can't try to work that situation out because we're so used to doing that, and sometimes we succeeded. Hey, don't fear. Give it to the Lord. Let him work that out, little flock. For your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves purses which do not wear out. Those are spiritual purses. An unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. And where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, the whole point is our treasure is in heaven upon the Lord Jesus Christ. When we get up in the morning, throughout the day, and when we go to bed, we acknowledge Him. We are His, and He is ours. So, Lord, what do you have for me today? You know, and you live your life, and you enjoy life. You have the peace that passes understanding, that guards your heart and mind, you know, from all temptation and all things. And so he's basically saying, so don't worry. Don't worry or be afraid. Why? God's in charge, and you are his flock. You are his sheep. That's why he's saying. If he looks over those things, those flowers and those birds and stuff, don't you think he's going to watch over you as his flock? And so Jesus ends up and he's saying, make investments in the eternal things, the heavenly treasure. If the treasure is in heaven, he's saying, that's where your heart's going to be. That's why I say in the morning, all day long, in the evening, make sure that heaven with the Lord, that's where your treasure is. There's where your heart will be. You know, you're up in the morning, you don't have to read 10 chapters of the Bible in the morning. You could read Daily Light. My wife loves that book. Ann Graham Lotz, and you know, has put it together, and some others 100 years ago. It's incredible. It's just scripture. You know, it probably won't take you more than 5-10 minutes. Just meditate on that all the day. And when you go, it's got a morning and evening. Or better yet, use the Bible calendar and have a time where you're in the Word. You're letting the Lord speak to you. You see, that's having that heavenly vision, that heavenly mind. That's where your treasure is. And you see, God's pleasures and our treasures, they meet together in Jesus' teaching right here. You see, if God isn't our pleasure and he's not our treasure, hey, we're just going to read the teaching of Jesus that he gives his disciples, and we'll miss the meaning. We'll miss the meaning of what he's saying. He's saying this is the true meaning of life. It's a spiritual meaning. It's a spiritual life that we're living here on earth. We're so heavenly minded that we're earthly good, basically. And it's in relationship with him. So that's my prayer for all of us. We quit worrying. We start trusting. Let's do that right now. Father, we thank you for your exhortation, Lord. And God, we do take it to heart. Lord, your word is sweet. It's sweet as honey. Lord, but sometimes when it goes down and how we kind of take it and we don't really live in it, then the bitterness comes because we ignore. We try on our own. And Lord, it's always bitter when we leave you off and we try to take those burdens and that worry to ourselves. Lord, I agree with Martin Luther. Trust God and let God worry. Although, Lord, you never worry. You know exactly what you're going to do. But it's an interesting, kind of a neat saying. Lord, let us trust you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Let us love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Lord, let us give you all of our life, every part of it. And Lord, we desire to watch you work a great work in each one of us, that your peace that passes all understanding, it guards our heart and our mind in all the difficulties that we face, all the necessities of life. Lord, we trust you. We come into that place of rest. We come into that place of peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.